This call is being recorded.
Hello, today is Thursday, May the 7th, 2020. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. And today I am joined with Karen Alpert in Australia, Laura Snyder in France, and Keith Redmond in Washington, D.C. So we are communicating with you from all around the world. And this is another of our series of short podcasts designed to illustrate how different aspects of Americans, of the taxation of Americans abroad affects, well, Americans abroad. And commonly when Americans abroad get their taxes done or think about getting their taxes done, they consider whether to try to exclude income using the foreign earned income exclusion or to use the foreign tax credit mechanism. A previous podcast talked about the foreign earned income exclusion and some of the problems that it does not solve. And in this podcast, we are going to talk about the principle of foreign tax credits and in a very general sense, how foreign tax credits work and don't work for Americans abroad. Now, I would begin by saying this, that the foreign earned income exclusion is available only to Americans abroad or people who don't have a physical presence in America. But the foreign tax credit system is available to any American taxpayer who happens to have income, foreign source income, where that particular foreign source income is taxed by the country where it's sourced. So that would mean, for example, if you have an American citizen living in, say, Canada, who has salary income in Canada and investment income in Canada, Canada obviously has the first right of taxation. And against that background, if an American citizen is also subject to tax by the United States, that American surely would not want to be subject to tax independently in Canada and independently in the United States. So in a very general sense, the way the foreign tax credit system works is that the American citizen in Canada would file his tax return. He would calculate how much was owing. He would include all that income earned in Canada. And he would then look at his Canadian tax return, determine how much of that, how much tax was paid on that income earned in Canada, and then say, well, the foreign tax credit rules allow me to essentially pay my U.S. tax liability by using the tax that I have paid on that income in Canada. In other words, the tax paid on the Canadian source income is used to offset any U.S. tax owing on that income. Now, that's a bit of an oversimplification, but I think it does explain the general principle behind the foreign tax credit rules. And to, you know, flush this out a little bit, perhaps provide an example or two, let me turn this over to Karen. Karen, what would
Thanks, John.
Add to what I've said?
Yeah, so the foreign tax credit basically means you pay the higher of the two tax rates. But it's of course, like anything that touches the U.S. tax code, it's not quite that simple. Because the U.S. Calculates that foreign tax credit separately for a number of different baskets of income. So the baskets are the main baskets that are going to affect most Americans overseas would be active or the general basket, which is active income and passive income. And there's a few others that, you know, most people hopefully will never see.
So the example that I gave of the Canadian, the American in Canada who say made $100,000 in salary and $100,000 in, say, interest income, very unrealistic, but just for the purposes of the example, those would be two different baskets. So think active versus passive. Would that be
correct? Yeah, active versus passive. So then you would allocate your Canadian tax between those two baskets and offset the U.S. tax on the salary with Canadian tax that's allocated to the active basket and offset the U.S. tax on investment income with Canadian tax that's allocated to the passive basket, which, you know, it sounds like, okay, we're going to get down to the same result at the end, but you're not. And the reason you're not is because Canada may have a may not be taxing all of that investment income. If Canada's not taxing any of the investment income, then when you allocate the Canadian tax to the different baskets, only all of the Canadian tax gets allocated to the active income basket, the general basket. And you don't have any Canadian tax to offset your U.S. tax on your investment income.
Okay.
That may sound like a fanciful example, but that's exactly what's happening when you've got a exclusion of for the capital gain on a primary residence, or special rules around the taxation of retirement income. All of these things can come together to mean that none of that foreign tax is allocated to the basket where you've got U.S. income.
Absolutely. So to be clear on this, though, the way the U.S. law is written is that you are only allowed a tax credit for foreign taxes paid if that tax is paid on that specific basket of income. In other words, there's no carryover. If you have excess tax paid, for example, for salary income, you're not able to use that excess tax as a credit against the investment income, correct?
You keep the two completely separate, but there is a carryover within each basket. So if I've got excess Canadian tax paid on my salary relative to U.S. tax, I can carry that excess forward for 10 years, but it has to stay in that active or general income basket. It can't ever be used against passive income.
So in other words, if any in the next 10 years, if there's any time when for some reason you had not paid enough Canadian tax to offset the U.S. tax, then you could look to those excess tax carryovers, correct?
Correct.
And I think a recent example of where a lot of people did that was in conjunction with the transition tax, wasn't it? There were large numbers because, you know, as we've discussed, Karen, that was an income inclusion in the general category, I believe. People who had face value, or at least initially had a transition tax, were able to offset that with foreign tax credit carry forwards.
Yeah, and there's also been examples of people who get redundancy payments, which are often taxed lower in country of residence. If they've got those going to the general basket, and if they've got excess credits in the general basket, they can offset U.S. tax on those redundancy payments.
Very interesting. So let me ask you this, Karen. Would that be a reason to presumptively file using the foreign tax credit system instead of the foreign earned income exclusion?
I think a lot of people in countries where the taxes are higher than the U.S., will end up using the foreign tax credit rather than the earned income exclusion, just so that they maintain the option of using those credit carryovers in the future should they receive some income that is not subject to local tax.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and this is why, at least my observation is that the vast majority of tax preparers who do these things for Americans abroad have a presumption in favor of using the foreign tax credit rules.
Dependent entirely on the tax rules of the country of residence.
Meaning that, for example, in some countries, there is no income tax, like Saudi Arabia or the UAE or something.
Right, right. They balance their budget other ways.
Right. Well, this is all very interesting. But what I think comes out of the many points that Karen makes, what really resonates with me is the importance of having to characterize the kind of tax that's paid in, say, Canada or the other country, you know how to use it as a tax credit in the United States. And bringing Keith into the discussion here, Keith, I believe that you're aware of examples where there's actually been disagreement between the United States and other countries about how to characterize those non-U.S. taxes. Is that correct?
That is correct. And certainly one key example that has been problematic for a number of years that just recently got resolved was the situation between France and the U.S. In France, there were two key taxes on income that were obviously obligatory in France. They weren't called taxes per se. They were called social charges, but they needed to be paid. And as a result, the IRS did not recognize these two social charges as taxes. Therefore, the foreign tax credit could not be applied. Therefore, many individuals, many Americans overseas living in France, were actually taxed doubly as a result. And just recently, the recognition was put in place where the IRS did finally recognize them as income tax, if you will. But that's just one of a number of examples where two systems just, it's very hard to, you know, Karen talks about the different baskets. Sometimes what occurs is there's no basket because the IRS just does not recognize the taxes imposed in a particular country. Fortunately, it worked out after much angst over a number of years that this was rectified. But I do know there are other countries that have to deal with this particular situation.
Yeah, often when a country decides to impose a surtax that's like temporary, that often doesn't end up qualifying for the foreign tax credit, even though it's based on income. It's not, you know, depending on how the country actually sticks it into their domestic law, will affect how the U.S. Treats it, whether it's treated as an income tax that's available for the foreign tax credit.
Right. And I would add to that, from a U.S. perspective, the way the 3.8% Obamacare surtax is written into the Internal Revenue Code, leaving aside the issue of tax treaties, no tax paid in the other country, in Canada or whatever, can be used to offset that 3.8% surtax. Now, I think it's debatable whether under the treaty there's relief or not, but it's interesting how you, under U.S. domestic legislation, that law is written to preclude the possibility of using a non-U.S. tax to offset that that Obamacare surtax. So, all of which to say, I think that the situation of Americans abroad is tremendously complicated. I would add also the Keith's description of the France specific facts opens the door to a later discussion I think that we should have about how the way that Americans abroad are taxed really depends more on their country of residence than anything else, because the rules actually differ from country to country. But the bottom line is, leaving aside the technicalities, neither the foreign earned income exclusion nor the foreign tax credit regime comes anywhere close to solving the problems experienced by Americans abroad. I'm assuming that Karen and Keith would agree with that.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely. I'd agree with that. We hadn't even hardly touched the surface.
Right. And on that note, yeah, I think we'll end this podcast and pick it up later with another topic. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Okay.